Hi everyone, this is Jake Posey with PrudentSeller.com, and I'm going to bring you a wonderful interview today with Zach Roth, who is a real estate attorney here in Jacksonville, Florida. This is an area that he specializes in, and he's going to give us some insider information to help you sell your home on your own. So Zach, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, about how long you've been practicing, the firm you work at, and your areas of specialization?
Absolutely. I've been practicing as an attorney for about a year and a half now, but working with a firm that has been doing real estate transactions representing sellers and buyers for over a decade. Our managing partner, Barry Ansbacher, has been doing real estate closings and representing sellers for almost 25 years. As a law firm, we are a boutique law firm that focuses on all aspects of real estate law. So this includes construction, and community associations, HOAs, and condos, but also real estate transactions. And we represent both buyers and sellers in everything from single family and condos all the way up to multi-million dollar commercial properties, golf courses, those type of properties. So, you know, we have vast experience in pretty much all types of real estate law.
Wow, it sounds like if you set it on the ground, you guys can cover it.
Exactly, exactly. We pride ourselves on being able to assist with practically anything that someone could have occur to them in the world of real estate law.
Okay. So let's start out, because most people who are selling their home on their own for the first time, they just get bewildered by this closing process, mostly because a lot of it seems like it goes on behind closed doors. They don't get an insider's view into what happens. Can you give me a kind of a walkthrough of what the closing process is like whenever you're selling your home?
Absolutely. So obviously the first task that a seller want to do if they decide to sell their home is how they're going to go about it. Are they going to sell it on their own, or are they going to use a real estate agent to market the house? Either way, you're going to have to make a determination about the market value of your home and decide what needs to change, what you need to fix, et cetera, to put that home on the market and maximize its value. If a seller does decide to use a real estate agent, what you have to be careful of is that you'll generally be presented with a boilerplate listing agreement, and those will often contain provisions that are meant to protect exclusively the listing agent and have very little protection for the seller. So much, in fact, that you may waive without even knowing it your right to seek recovery against that agent later should they make a mistake in the closing process. So it's important at that point to bring an attorney in and have them review any agreement before you sign it. And then next is for someone who's eager to sell their home, is probably the hardest part, which is just waiting for offers. There's a lot of different ways offers can come in. They can arrive verbally. You can receive a letter of intent, or sometimes a potential buyer will send a purchase contract that they've already signed. And at that point, it's up to the seller to determine if they want to reject it, counteroffer, or accept that offer. But again, before accepting any offer and signing anything, an attorney should review that contract or draft it, depending on the circumstances of the offer. Generally, what happens next is an inspection period. During that inspection period, either the buyer or more likely an inspector that the buyer has hired will examine the home. They will often discover minor things that they would like to have fixed with the home before the sale. And that will usually then be presented to the buyer with a request or a demand. Sometimes they'll say they won't close without it. Sometimes they'll ask for payment for it, for whatever the repairs are. Then the seller will make the repairs and then move past the inspection period. Then the next step is, assuming financing is involved and it's not an all-cash transaction, a mortgage is not needed, the next step is to confirm that financing has, in fact, been approved, and once that's been approved, you're good to move to the closing stage. Pretty much at the closing stage, it seems overwhelming. It can be very confusing because there's a lot of documents coming your way. You know, you could have the HUD one, which is the standard settlement sheet, warranty deed, title affidavit, payoff certifications, all these various documents. So at that point, that's where an attorney can really be helpful in ensuring that your obligations under the contract have been met regarding documentation, title, surveys, payoffs, et cetera. typically, at that point, a seller will be responsible for paying for title insurance and choosing the closing attorney. So it's important for the seller to make sure they find someone they're comfortable with and someone they trust, because they will be the ones that really handle that confusing time where there's a lot of paperwork being shuffled around.
Okay. Now, let's kind of go back and step through that a little bit and get into a little bit more detail there. So we talked about kind of the first part where you get that offer and you accept the offer. Now, is there any legal documentation around that? Is that a verbal, you know, yes, no, I'll take this offer? How does that work?
No, that can often vary. It may be anything from you put your phone number on the sign and a buyer calls you and says how much you want for the house, and you say X dollars, and they say, okay, I'll give you X dollars for the house. And there's where you get the offer and, you know, have to decide to accept it. Or what you see a lot of times is a buyer will take a standard form contract and they will fill it out, sign it, and send it to you. So it will include already the purchase price, the buyer's information, your information. And then if you wanted to, you could sign it and that would consummate it. Now, obviously, that's not a good idea to sign a standard form contract that a buyer sends without having it reviewed by an expert to make sure that your interests as the seller are protected. We frequently see buyers who may have attorneys who have their attorney draft the contract and send it in to the seller, and it has little to no protection for the seller. It's all from the buyer's side because the buyer paid their attorney to put it together. Or you could have something in between, which is a letter that says, yeah, it's in writing, but it's not a contract, and so a contract will still have to be drafted. So there's many different ways that an offer could be presented to a seller.
Okay. So once you got that offer, let's for this scenario, let's pretend that, you know, I'm selling my home on my own and I've hired my real estate attorney.
Okay.
So I get an offer, a verbal offer from a buyer, and do I call you then and give you the details of the offer and then you write up the sales contract?
That generally would be the all-encompassing, the broad view of the approach. We would, you know, to protect the seller and understand exactly what they want out of the transaction, what the special issues are with the home, and what they really want to make sure they're protected on, we would want to speak with the seller, talk about that, and then we would take that information and turn that into a contract that fits their needs but is not, like we were discussing earlier, so one-sided that no one would be willing to sign it. It really is all about making sure we have a fair transaction that's great for everyone but protects the seller. So as soon as you receive an offer and want to go to contract, absolutely you should take it to an attorney. Honestly, though, it may be a better decision to go to the attorney before you even start accepting offers so you're prepared with a contract already written, so there's not that fear that, okay, now it's taken 2 or 3 days to get a contract. What happens to that offer? You already have a contract. You're ready to present to a buyer.
Okay, so roughly, should I go find an attorney once I put my house on the market for sale, or
generally,
should I do it later?
Generally speaking, as soon as you've decided that you're going to sell the home, you should go ahead and find your attorney. Just because, again, as it takes time to discuss what the potential issues are with the property and what you're really looking for your protection, you should have the attorney there from the very beginning. And what's important to note is that attorneys can do more than just look at contracts. Attorneys can serve as the closing agent. They can issue the title insurance, and they can represent your interests at the same time, meaning that you're not having to pay an attorney to look at the contract, a title company to do title insurance, and a third party, you know, to perform whatever the other tasks and issues may be. It can all be done in one location. And what's especially important is if you're selling on your own and not using an agent, a lot of the questions that you wouldn't know the answer to because you've never sold a home by yourself that you would normally ask an agent, an attorney can be there to answer those questions. An attorney can be there to refer a seller to a surveyor, for example, because a survey may be necessary or other professionals that are necessary, and otherwise provide that advice and guidance. That's why it's important, as soon as you make that decision to sell the home, go ahead and bring that attorney in so you can work together from beginning to end.
Okay. Now, if I were to come hire you as an attorney, would that first visit be free? Is there, how does the fees work?
Well, generally, it's not like a litigation matter where you have an initial consultation where you say, okay, here's me, here's this other person, here's the claims, what can I do about it? Because this is a working together to try to close something. You don't have that initial consult, quote unquote, that you would have in a lot of circumstances. What you have more of is a discussion of these needs, generally probably prior to the signing of the engagement. So once the engagement is signed, you pretty much move forward right away. So I guess in terms of the receiving the information from the client, putting together what their objectives are, a lot of that would occur before an engagement ever took place. So essentially, this, yes, that would be free.
Okay. And then are the attorney's fees paid on an ongoing basis? Are they paid at closing? How does that work?
That depends on the scope of the relationship. You know, if we're brought in to do negotiation on behalf of the client, that'll probably be billed hourly as it goes. If we're brought in to review a contract that's been presented to a seller, that'll probably be billed up front for a flat fee. In terms of costs in the sales process, the fees, a lot of those will be taken from the sales proceeds. And then, you know, something may be billed on the back end just depending on the scope of the relationship. So it really can depend on exactly what the attorney is doing for you. You can expect to pay and obviously how much you'll be paying.
Okay, and you'll find a seller would find all that out up front, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. That would be abundantly clear in any engagement that our firm would sign with a client. It would be expressly spelled out how they're going to pay, when they're going to pay, what those amounts would be, et cetera. We would never try to discuss that on the back end. That's something that's always an upfront. Here's how we're going to pay. It's X amount of money for us to review the contract, another X for us to proceed to the closing, et cetera.
All right. So let's jump a little bit further. I know that I had to fill out a lot of disclosure paperwork whenever I sold my last house. When is disclosure paperwork required?
That's an interesting question, because is it required by statute? No. But most buyers and most people generally have heard of the old phrase, buyer beware, caveat emptor. That's really what we kind of think of, you know, if you buy something and you get, and there's issues and you know, you're kind of out of luck, buyer beware. Well, in Florida, under a case called Johnson v. Davis, that's not the law when it comes to residential properties. The law is essentially seller beware. A seller is required to disclose under common law, again, this is not statutory, known material latent defects to the property. And if they do not make a disclosure and those issues are later discovered, that seller can potentially be liable for not making those disclosures. And what's important to understand is a couple different things. One, just because you've made a disclosure doesn't mean the buyer got it. Don't just sign a disclosure, give it to your agent, and that's it. We've dealt with a case where we had a seller who filled out every issue they knew about the home, gave it to their real estate agent, assumed the seller or the buyer received it, and got sued a year later because the buyer never received it. There's also ambiguity about what should be disclosed. For instance, what exactly does defect mean? Does defect mean something that's still defective that I haven't fixed? Or does it mean something that was defective that I've had fixed and I have no indication that there's a problem anymore? Arguments are made on both sides, so that's why it's important to understand that you do have disclosure responsibilities and you need to make sure that the buyer is made aware of anything that could potentially be brought back against you under that Johnson v. Davis case.
Okay. And you mentioned specific Florida statute, so I would imagine this is different state by state.
Absolutely. Generally, the common law in the United States and others in other states have followed the same way Florida haven't changed it to seller beware, this Johnson v. Davis law. But generally speaking, the law as our country has been founded was buyer beware. And even in Florida, that's still the case with commercial properties.
Okay. So I have my sales contract. They've signed it. I have my disclosures. Now I'm getting into the part of the process where all those different legal pieces of paperwork are coming forward.
Uh-huh.
So I have the HUD statement and things like that. Who provides those? Is it so there's a real estate attorney, there's potentially a title company in the mix. Does the title company always draw those up if they're in the mix, or does the real estate attorney always draw those up if they're in the mix?
Generally, it will depend on what the type of documentation is if you have both an attorney and a title company. Attorneys will draft more of the legal documents, deeds. Those type of documents will often be drafted by attorneys, but the HUD statement, the settlement statement, for example, often will be put together by the title company. Now, obviously, if the attorney you choose also has the ability to serve as the title agent and the closing agent, then that would all be prepared by the attorney.
Okay. So do all attorneys have that ability serve as both?
No, okay. Sir. Not all attorneys have that ability. They have to have specific ability to do that.
Okay. So I get my sales contract written up. I got my different items by the title company. Now let me ask you this. Does the seller hire the title company, or does the buyer choose and hire the title company?
The seller should choose and hire the title company and or the attorney who will handle the closing. Generally, those costs are paid by the seller. So the seller should then choose those, because obviously if you're paying them, you should have the right to choose them. It's typical. It's very rare that a buyer would pick where you close, unless there was some kind of special situation that showed that you should use the buyer's agent, then usually that's a decision to be made by the seller.
Okay. So I have all that, and as a seller, outside of providing the information for the disclosures and providing all the information about the property, are there any other obligations if I'm selling my home on my own? Are there any other obligations or items that I have to do, or is it all left up to the real estate attorney and or title company?
Generally speaking, documents that come from the seller would be limited to signing the contract and any addenda to the contract. For instance, if it's a form contract, you'll want an addendum that changes some of that language to protect the seller. For instance, items such as remedies following default, attorney's fees in the event of a breach, limitations and restrictions on the inspection period, et cetera. So you want that kind of document. And then the disclosure will be made by the seller. But otherwise, most of the documentation will be prepared by whoever's serving as the closing agent, whether that's a title company or the attorney.
Okay. So as a seller, I just need to keep on top of these individuals, make sure that they're following through and meeting the dates that were agreed upon between the buyer and the seller. Is that correct?
Correct, but generally speaking, the whole reason a seller would bring on an attorney early in the process, for example, is that we would be able to keep track of those deadlines, and the attorney would then take on that responsibility to ensure that all deadlines are met, that everything is calendared, and that the seller is made aware and the buyer is made aware of the obligations under the contract. When can you inspect? When are you able to walk away from the deal if you're allowed to walk away from the deal? When is the seller, how much time is the seller allowed to cure? Those examples. All of those will be kept track of by the attorney and would be communicated between the attorney and the seller.
Okay. The let's talk a little bit about the money. So it sounds like from the paperwork standpoint, the real estate agent and or the title company, for the seller, they're going to take care of everything. You just need to hire them, ask questions, and answer their questions. So from a money aspect, typically there's a deposit that's involved in an offer, so they put down a small deposit. How does that money get handled? Should that money go directly to the seller, to the person selling their home, or should it go somewhere else?
That money should go to whoever will be handling the closing. If it's a title company, then the title company. If it's an attorney, then to the attorney. And that attorney or title company will hold that money in escrow until the time of the closing. It should not be paid by the buyer to the seller, because then you run into issues of you know, if the contract falls through and they're not, and the seller is not entitled to keep the deposit, et cetera, that's why you use whoever's handling the closing to put it in escrow, and then that money is dispersed at the time of closing.
Excellent. So if I had Joe, who was making me an offer on my house, and we agreed on a price and agreed on a $1,000 deposit, I would send him the sales contract and say, sign it and drop it by this address along with the deposit. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. You can have them return the contract to, for instance, your attorney and exactly say, okay, say the deposit is $5,000, you know, picking a number out of thin air. Bring a $5,000 check or wire it to this attorney, which the attorney will hold in escrow on your behalf for the benefit of the seller should the transaction close.
Okay. Now, with that, so I have the money in the bank and everything. The closing process goes through, and then the money exchanges hands. As a seller, how do I get my money when I'm finished?
Generally, it comes in the form of a check from the whoever is doing the closing. Now, if there's a mortgage on the property, that mortgage will have to be paid off from the proceeds. So, obviously, any proceeds distributed to the seller will be reduced by the amount that are used to pay off the mortgage on the property.
Okay, so for example, I sell my house for $150,000, I have a $120,000 mortgage. You're going to send a check for $120,000 to the mortgage company, and then you're going to cut me a check for $30,000. Is that correct?
Essentially, that's a summarized way of looking at it. That's the whole point of the HUD settlement, is to see what's owed on the mortgage, what's being paid out to them, how much is being paid to the owner. And the $30,000 check would obviously be reduced to include other fees, and costs such as, you know, title, insurance, and those. But, yes, generally speaking, the seller will not be given a check for the lump sum and then be expected to go pay off the mortgage. Mortgage companies simply would not allow that.
Excellent. Okay. And then, so once I have that, when I close on, say I close on a Tuesday during the week, will I get my check that same day or will it come later in the week?
Generally, because closings are held until the money is absolutely ready and financing is through, payment will all be taken care of that day.
Okay. So the closing, I hand over the keys and I typically will get a check then and walk out.
That's the customary practice.
Okay. Excellent. Now, when talking about money, there's a lot of people out there who are afraid of negotiation. It's not that they don't know how, they just don't think they know how and are afraid to do it. Is it customary for a real estate attorney to help the buyer or help the seller with the negotiation process?
You know, that all comes down to the scope of the relationship. Absolutely, attorneys will assist in negotiating price if that's something that they're brought in to do. It's not frequent that we have cases where sellers come and say, hey, we have a potential buyer, but we want you to negotiate them down. But often price is not the only negotiation matter. And price can be one factor in a number of factors in terms of signing a contract that can be negotiated. And price can be used for leverage, for example, on other items that are important to a seller, and those are the types of things that an attorney can explain to you and assist you with.
Absolutely. All right, and then with that, are there other services then that I can rely on my real estate attorney that's not typically part of that scope of the relationship?
A real estate attorney can be involved as much or as little as you want them to. They can draft the contract and all addendums and work on negotiating for you and go all the way through the sales, closing the transaction, or they can just serve as the closing agent. It can happen anywhere in between. Anything that is needed, attorneys generally can help with. Our office, as I mentioned, takes pride in the fact that we can offer solutions or assist with almost any real estate issue. So any special issues should be brought to the attorney's attention, and methods can be discussed to shape the relationship and shape the engagement so that the seller has everything they need taken care of.
Okay. Just a couple more questions about how I can hire you. And so what's the best way for a person to find a good real estate attorney?
You know, there's a lot of different ways about that. You know, you can Google someone. You see that a lot, just searching the internet. Before you do that, don't just look at the first name you get. It makes sense to do some vetting of that person, check websites such as Avvo and Martindale to see, you know, how their reputation is. You can get referrals from a friend. A lot of times we have people that it's referrals from a coworker. Someone you work with has sold their home, so you ask them, hey, did you use an attorney? Who did you work with? Something that's important to remember, though, is that if you are considering a referral from a person, evaluate the stake that person may have in the transaction. For example, if you are using a real estate agent, it's important to remember that they are commissioned salespeople who are only paid if the transaction closes. Therefore, they may have the interests of getting the transaction closed ahead of ensuring that your interests are protected. So they may choose an attorney or title company that they know will push the transaction through rather than fight for your rights as a seller.
Okay. Now, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and so if I was elsewhere in Florida, could I hire you, or is it important to have a real estate attorney locally, or can I hire someone who's maybe in a different city?
One of the benefits of real estate versus something such as litigation is you're not making court appearances. You're not having to drive to a physical location. So someone anywhere in the state of Florida could hire us. You could be in Key West. You could be in Pensacola, and we can help you because the law is the same across the state. The procedures are essentially the same across the state, and we're licensed to practice, obviously, anywhere in the state.
Okay. Now, is there anything that you would recommend as any cautionary tales to anybody selling their home on their own for the first time?
As I mentioned earlier with the disclosures, it's always a good idea to over-include rather than under-include, because you'd rather lose a sale on the front end and get a new one the next week than get the first sale and be sued a year later, which, as I mentioned, we had a client who, unfortunately, it was not insured that the disclosure was given to the buyers. There was some issue with the performance of the real estate agents, and they found themselves in a lawsuit. And that goes back to an attorney reviewing the listing agreement with the real estate agent as well. Should a real estate agent be sought to be used, because you may sign away rights in that situation where the reason that a disclosure was not presented to a seller was the agent's fault. You may waive any rights to seek recovery from those people without even knowing it. We also have had a closing recently. It's on its way to closing now. We were able to resolve it. But the seller came to us and said, I've been presented with this contract from a buyer. What do you think? And you look at it, and it's all about the buyer's rights, nothing about the seller's rights. It absolutely was the most unfair, one-sided contract you can imagine. And luckily, it didn't become a horror story because they didn't sign it before they came to us. They came to us. We were able to recraft it, keep the buyer's protections in there, even it out, include seller protections, and now everyone's happy and we're on the way to closing.
Outstanding. All right, Zach, I really want to thank you for speaking with me today. This has been an awesome interview. You've been able to give us a lot of inside information that's going to not only save us some money up front, but also save us some money down the road and keep our butts out of the courtroom.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you for everything you're doing to educate sellers in our area.
You're welcome.